John chapter number 10, verse number 1, Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to come together tonight, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to come and to submit ourselves under your authority, under your word, and to worship and glorify you. We pray that you would teach us, and God, we pray that you would reveal yourself afresh and anew to us tonight. Help us to see Christ as the door to the sheep, and God, we pray that that would be a source of rejoicing and happiness to us who are your sheep. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have been looking at the I am statements of Jesus as they are recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And in the middle of a world, in the middle of a country and a world that has no clue who Jesus is, beyond the historical accounts. And it seems like it's getting more and more that the church, even churches in the upstate, have no clue who he is either. We are not concerning ourselves with what the world or our country claims Christ is, or what the church says he is. What we're interested in is who Jesus says that he is. And he has said so far, I am the bread of life. And Jesus has claimed to be our staple, our sustaining, and our satisfaction. He is the giver of spiritual life. And without Christ, there is no spiritual life. He said, I am the light of the world. Where with Jesus, we have the light of God's presence, the light of God's protection, and the light of the path of God's guidance. Tonight we come to John 10, where Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. And the context in which this statement is made by Christ follows from the events recorded in the previous chapters, all of which take place around the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. It was there that they had celebrated the manna that was given in the wilderness, and Jesus says, I am the bread. It was there that they lit the lights that illuminated Jerusalem. He reminded them that he was the light, and here he says he is the door to the sheep. Now, one of the things we need to remember is that sheep aren't terribly intelligent animals. They are defenseless animals. They have no natural defenses against predators. And when sheep are gathered at evening time, they need to be gathered somewhere together. They need to be enclosed in some kind of pen, or they're liable to wander off and venture into dangerous environments. They can wander off and be gone for a good amount of time. But they need to be gathered for one reason or another, and usually in the evening those sheep are gathered together so that they can be watched. And they are secured and closed in into what is typically an enclosure that is surrounded by walls that have been built out of rocks. And there is one part that is left open that is the door. And normally the shepherd would himself stand or sit or sleep in that opening to keep the sheep in. So Jesus says, I am the door. Now, He is the shepherd that comes into the door. He is the shepherd that the porter opens the door to. He is the shepherd. And yet, He also is the door. He is the shepherd and He is the door. And so tonight, I want us to look at Him being the door under three headings and what it implies that He is the door. Again, verse 9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Number one, the door is a symbol of approach. The door is a symbol of approach. Now, some people are upset because they approached the building tonight and could not get into the door. Amen? So, to get into the building, you must approach the door, right? And so the door is always a symbol of approach. But what does it mean when Jesus says, I am the door? Well, if we are ever going to approach salvation, it will be through Jesus Christ. He is salvation's approach. And all the sheep that come into His pen by that door are His sheep. Amen? They're His sheep. They hear His voice. They follow Him. They don't follow a stranger because they don't know that voice. So all the sheep that come in by this door are this shepherd's sheep. You with me? So to approach this door would be to identify yourself with that shepherd. And to approach this door would to identify salvation with Jesus Christ. He is the door. And He says to enter by Him is to have salvation. Now, if you're looking for salvation, if you're looking for something in a saving way, and it doesn't have Jesus as its first point of contact, you are at the wrong door. Amen? If you're looking for salvation and your first approach is your good works, you're at the wrong door. Right? If you're looking for salvation and your first point of approach is water baptism, you're at the wrong door. Somebody help me. If you're looking for salvation and your first point of approach is keeping the sacraments, you're at the wrong door. The door is Christ, and salvation, if you're going to have salvation, the first point of contact is Christ. And if you're at the wrong door, let me just say this, if you're at the wrong door with good works, with water baptism, with self-righteousness, with keeping sacraments, if you're at the wrong door, you're also at the wrong house. Amen? There is no salvation there. There is salvation in Christ. The sad tragedy today is that so many people are looking for some type of salvation, some type of freedom. They need rest for their consciences and peace for their hearts. They want their lives to have some sort of direction and some sort of purpose. They want some sort of peace with God, and yet they so often go to the wrong door. And sometimes we point them to the wrong door. You know you're at the right door for salvation if the door is Jesus. Every aspect of His life, every aspect of His death, His resurrection, and His ascension, and all that He continues to do in heaven, that's what sinners need. Sinners do not need a self-help and reformation plan. They need a Savior in Jesus Christ. And sinners need to identify with Him. Salvation is by the door, which is Christ. And that has so many profound consequences in our lives and thinking. We must look away from ourselves to Him. We must focus on Him and look to Him. Now, if you want to show people where salvation is found, where do you send them? You don't send them to some moralistic list of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs, right? If somebody needs to be saved, you have to send them to Jesus. For He is salvation. We don't say to them, get dressed, make sure you're dressed right, make sure your hair is cut, make sure all these things are happening. A lot of churches do that. But you know, this door accepts everyone. It is for sinners, amen? Which brings us to our next point. It is not only salvation's approach, it is a sinner's approach. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus came for sinners. And sinners can come directly to Him. Anything else besides Jesus, anything else but the approach of Christ by sinners, is not the salvation of the New Testament. Anything else is not the gospel of the New Testament. Now, I don't want to be mean here, but let me say this. The righteous, or those who think they are righteous, they have to go somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? Those who deem themselves worthy must go somewhere else. Those who think they are deserving must go somewhere else. Those who are well and not sick must go somewhere else. But those who see that they are sin sick and not worthy and undeserving sinners, they may approach God through the door of Jesus Christ. If you identify salvation with anything else, we have it wrong. Whether that salvation is based on my good works, my righteousness, my obedience, it's not Jesus and then living right, it's Jesus. Amen? If that is the basis of my acceptance with God, my righteousness, my obedience, my good works, I'm at the wrong door. I'm at the wrong house. I can't approach the door if I feel righteous. I can't approach the door if I feel worthy. I can't approach the door if I think I have merited something. Sinners approach the door of Christ and find entrance. Right? You know that we all have to stand before God one day, right? And if we stand before God, and our argument is that our life has been relatively decent and not bad, we have it wrong. It is not our spiritual experiences. It is not our testimonies. It is not what moves me. It is not my feelings, whether I feel this or feel that, that count. If those are the things which identify my salvation, I have it wrong. If I have to depend my salvation is true because on experiences or some sort of feeling, I have got it wrong. It is not even a set of creeds that saves. It's not the things that I believe or subscribe to. It's not my eschatology that will save me. It's not my grasp of doctrine. It's not my knowledge of the Bible. What saves sinners is Jesus Christ. Amen? And we must identify with Him for salvation. Now, we must simply look to Him. He is the one by whom we can identify God's salvation. And if we claim a salvation that is divorced from Jesus Christ, it is no salvation at all. It must be Him and Him alone. in His glory, in His grandeur, and in His finished work. And absolute salvation is guaranteed to me in Him. In His person, in His work, that is the basis of my salvation. If that's true, I've got it right. Amen? So if we are going to move towards salvation, if we are going to approach salvation, we must come by this door. And we must come as sinners, as hell-deserving, unmerited, unworthy, sin-sick sinners. Come to Him. Sinners can approach salvation at this door. Number two, not only is this door a symbol of approach, but this door is a symbol of access. Now the problem tonight is that we had the door locked and these people could not get access. They came to the door, but they couldn't come in. But you understand there's a lot of people that come to the door and won't come in. Speaking of salvation, there's a lot of people who know intellectually all the teachings of the Bible about Christ. That they know it. They've been in church all their lives. Their parents have brought them to church. They know everything. And if you ask them, they have all the right answers. They know it. They know it. They can tell you that it's sinners that must come through the door of Christ. Yet, they've never accessed salvation by coming through the door of Christ. It's not just a door to stand outside and admire. It's not just a door to stand out and study and learn all the intricate things of the door. It's a door that we need to travel through to see what's in and behind the door. Amen? Now there's two things here about this access that I want to share with you. Number one, it is a single door access. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If you try to enter any other way, you won't be saved. He says earlier that those who try to come in some other way are thieves and robbers. There is one way to get to God. There's one way to have salvation, and there's only one way. There's not two doors or three doors. There's one door. Are you with me? One door. And it is by entering through this door that a person is saved. I don't think it can be any clearer than that. Amen? By coming through, not coming to, but coming through this door. Now, I think it's great news to tell sinners that they can have salvation as sinners in Christ. Come to Christ. But that's not enough. They must come through the door. They must pass through the threshold of the door. They must come through Christ to get to God. There is no other door of which this is true. There is no other access to God. There is no other access to salvation. There is no other way except through Christ. Now, I know that makes people mad because they say, well, you Christians, you're so exclusive in your salvation. You think Christians are the only ones going. Well, Christians are the only ones going. Somebody help me. Because you can only go through Christ. So the Muslims aren't going because they don't believe Christ is Savior. The Jews aren't going because they don't believe Christ is Savior. You must come through Christ or you don't come. But I'm glad there is a door there. I'm glad there is a glorious door there that sinners can approach and can go through for salvation. And Jesus says, I am the door. Not only is it a single door, but it is a simple door. Again, this door, this door of salvation is not locked, right? It's not locked. It's not even closed. If the gospel is being preached, God gives access to him. Now, I hope you understand what I'm going to say. Perhaps the door of our hearts are closed against Jesus. There was a time when my heart was closed to Christ. I had no interest in Christ. I had no interest in God. I was not interested in hearing Him. I was not interested in being around God's people. My door was closed to Christ. Right? Do you remember that? In other words, all these people want to evangelize me and tell me about Jesus. I didn't want God in. You with me? The beauty of the gospel is that even though our hearts may be closed to Jesus, Jesus does not close the door to us. His door is wide open. The door is giving us access. Now, sometimes we open doors so you can get into the church. Sometimes we don't, but sometimes we do. We let you in the church. We want you to come in. We're going to fix that because I want you to come in. We don't want you to stand outside staring at the door. We open doors so people will come in because the door is the point of access to the building. And here Jesus says, well, I'm the same thing. You want access to God? You want access to salvation? You want access to glory? I am the door. You must come by me. We cannot be content to stand and look at the door. We must come through the door. It's that simple. How do I get to God? How am I saved? Come through the door of Jesus Christ. He is the door. He gives us access through Himself into salvation. And until we enter through Him, we cannot be in His kingdom. Now Jesus says, I am the door. And the question that I ask for all of us is, have we crossed the threshold? Have we gone through Christ? There are people that think they're not good enough. But He does not keep those who think they are not good enough out. Say amen. Matter of fact, those are the very ones He says come in. He opens wide the door of salvation for sinners who are not good enough. He pleads with men and women and boys and girls to come in by the open door of Christ. His shed blood, His righteousness, His life, His death, His resurrection are the essence of the gospel, and we are called to go in by this door and not any other door. Amen? A single door of access. A simple door of access. Do you trust in the life and death, the resurrection of Christ for your salvation? If you do, come through Him. He gives you access. If you feel your unworthiness, if you feel your burden of sin, if you feel your undeservedness, if you feel the heaviness of your sin, come. Come. He is the access to salvation. And Him only. Please don't add things to Christ. When you add things to Christ, you're at the wrong door. It is Christ. Christ did not say, I and this are the door. He says, I am the door. Him alone, the door of salvation. Number three, the door is a symbol of assuredness. Now, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. What do you mean by that? Well, or do you mean eternal security? Well, sort of. I don't believe that God saves you and then you can do anything you want to do and still be saved. I think God saves you and then God keeps you. He preserves you. I believe that's His work. Amen? In other words, I don't think that I'm kept by my own works. I'm kept by His work. Why do I believe that? Because He said, I am the door. So, He is a preserving door. In other words, there is security in Jesus. Once you get in, He's at the door. I really like that preacher. That's good right there. If Jesus is at the door and we come in by Jesus and we get into the kingdom of God, well, He's still at the door. And let me help you. He's more powerful than you are. And He ain't letting you out. Once we're in, nothing can snatch us out of His hands. Why? Because God, the powerful, sovereign ruler of the universe, is at the door. And we are safe and secure behind the door. When we come to Christ for rest, we get rest. And we get safety. And when we come in and out, He keeps His eye on us then. Now, remember the story of Noah? The time came finally when the ark was ready, the clouds were ready, God was ready. But before judgment comes, God tells Noah to enter into the ark. There's a door in the ark. And so Noah and his family go in, and we read that the Bible says, what? The Lord shut him in. Now I want to ask you something. How many of you believe that when God shut Noah in, he's safe and secure from everything? Should Noah fear anything? Should Noah doubt that God is going to meet the need? Should Noah doubt that there's enough supplies on board for this? Should Noah doubt anything? He's shut in by God. And behind God's shutting the door, he's safe and secure. Amen? Noah's not up there wondering, I don't know about this. That door may fly open and we might fly out. No, he's not worried about flying out of the boat. You with me? For Noah, the Lord shut him in, and there is safety and security in everything and everyone that's shut behind that locked door. Once I got in Christ, I'm in. And I am safe and secure in Him because He is the door. Don't you know you're safe in Christ? Don't you know you're secure in Christ? Your safety, and let me just say this so that you get this. Your safety in salvation, your safety in the kingdom of God is only as good as the door. How many are glad you're not the door? He's the door. Your security is guaranteed by the strength of the door, and there is no one as strong and as powerful as God. So secure I am that even the devil himself can't get me out of the hand of God. Amen? So Jesus says that everything He has done is guaranteeing the eternal security and salvation of everyone who puts their trust in Him. It's a done deal. I'm glad to be tonight closed in with God. Now, what do you think? Where do you think God's at when God shut Noah in? Well, God's in there with him. Amen. God's in there with them. And all of the judgment and all of the death and all of the pain and all of the sorrow, they have been safely tucked away from all of that. God has preserved and kept them safe so that when the water recedes and the boat comes aground, that the exact number of things that went in that boat are the exact same things that come out. I don't think they lost an animal. I don't think they lost a person. Amen? Except the animals that were sacrificed. You with me? If you are in Christ, there is nothing in life, nothing in death, nothing in this world or nothing in the world to come that can threaten your security in Him. Paul put it this way. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Amen. We are secure in Him if we have come through the door. It is a preserving door. Finally, it is a partitioning door. Now, we have to be honest here. The same door that shut Noah in is the same door that shut the world out. You remember Jesus spoke about a wedding feast to which people were to come, but when the people came, the doors were shut. You see, the same doors which closed some in to the banquet also closed some out. And the same God does them both. Right? When God shut Noah and his family in, was He not at the same time shutting the rest of the world out? So, when you go to your house at night, tonight, how many of y'all leave your doors wide open? Y'all shut them and lock them? Amen? And isn't it a pretty good non-stated rule that your family can be in, but everybody else needs to stay out? Isn't that a door of division and of partitioning in your life? Well, Jesus says, I am the door. There is salvation in Christ. You identify with Him. There is access by Him. There is security in Him. But the same door that closes His people into the glory of this salvation also closes people out. And what really matters, folks, what really, really matters is what side of the door you're on. Didn't that matter with Noah? You're on the wrong side of the door, it's not going to turn out well. Right? The question is, do you know Christ? Have you come to find salvation in Him alone? Do you know that you are saved by trusting in the finished work of Christ at Calvary? The door is open, but the door still divides. Jesus says, come, for everything's ready. But it's not always going to be that way. One day He will close the door. And it will matter supremely which side of the closed door we're on. When the flood comes, think back to Noah. When the water begins to fall, it's not going to matter what kind of life you lived. It's not going to matter if you were a good dad or a good mom. Do this. It's not going to matter what kind of people we've been, or how often we went to church, or how often we read our Bibles. None of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is which side of the closed door you're on. It won't matter how many good intentions you had to get into the ark. Well, I was going to do that, but I just ran out of time. I got so busy. That's not going to matter. What's going to matter is which side of the door you're on. And I'm not just saying it's going to matter then. I'm saying it matters right now. Where are we in relation to Christ now? Tonight. Have we truly come in? Are we safe in Christ? Or are we lingering outside? It is a blessing that God still offers salvation to sinners. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have crossed the threshold of the door. Jesus Christ is the door. And if any man should approach, if any sinner should approach this door of salvation, access will be available. And if we cross the threshold of this single door of access, we shall have the assuredness of eternal life and salvation. If we don't, we will be on the outside of the door where there is the raining down of the wrath of God and the punishment of God. The only people that survive are the ones in Christ, in the boat, shut in. Amen? You know, people say, you Baptist, you believe once saved, always saved. You believe you can make a profession and live any way you want to and have your ticket to heaven. And I say, no, sir, we absolutely do not believe that. And I don't know any honest Baptist that does believe that. What we believe is this. Once we come into salvation, into the kingdom of God through Christ, He shuts us in. I'm kept by the power of God, not by. The sad reality is what? While He shuts us in, others are shut out that will not come to Him. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be. The gospel is Jesus Christ. The good news is Jesus Christ, period. He's the door. Come to Him. Come through Him to God and the kingdom of God. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this vivid picture of who Christ is. He is the bread that we must eat for life. He is the light that guides us and protects us. He is the door by which we must approach and access our God by, our salvation by. And in Christ we are secure. But tonight I know there are so many. So many who have grown up in church, so many who have been brought up in church, who know, they've seen the door, they've heard about the door, They have every answer about the door, yet they've never passed through the door for salvation. And I pray that you would remove blinders and remove those things that stop their ears, that you would regenerate their heart and move them through Christ for salvation. Give them the faith, the repentance that they need to receive you as who you are, to walk through that threshold and receive Christ as Savior and Lord, enter into the kingdom of God and be shut in to the blessedness that is God. We pray that you would do that for those who don't know you, and help us tonight rejoice that we are shut in Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.